From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This past week, a customer had her 2019 GMC Denali towed in first thing Monday morning. No crank, no lights, a completely dead battery. She needed to get to work and to get her kids to school, so the pressure was on. Upon inspection, the original battery had just finally given out. But here's the thing. Today's vehicles aren't a one-size-fit-all. With start-stop technology and added electronics, you've got to find the correct battery, one with the precise power and fit. So, we turned to Advance Auto Parts. In minutes, we found the right battery for her specific year, make, and model, one built to handle her vehicle's electrical demands. It was in stock locally, and Advance delivered the battery in under an hour. We installed the battery, tested the system, and had her back on the road fast. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs, including free battery testing and installation at most Advance locations. You can learn more at AdvanceAutoParts.com. That's AdvanceAutoParts.com.
Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is. Remember, we are brought to you in part by Peak Silicone Plus and Silicone Platinum Premium Wiper Blades, and engineered to last four times longer and deliver complete visibility in any weather driving condition. You can find out about Peak Silicone Plus and Silicone Platinum Premium Wiper Blades right there at peak.com. We are joined, as we always are, this time of the week, by our world-class technician and master of all trades, well, jack of all trades, Dan Petras. How are you this fine day, Mr. Petras?
Oh, just great. I'll tell you, Brian, for you being up all these hours, you're sure real perky today.
I'm living on caffeine. Coffee and me have become very, very good friends. But you know how that works.
I was wondering why you had the coffee maker right on your console there.
I carry it on a backpack around with me. I can't be very far away from it. I wanted to put it on an IV drip, but I don't like needles that much. What's been going on in the shop this week with you, sir? Anything good?
Well, a lot of good things. Nothing, believe it or not, everything's been a simple week. That's a change. But one of them that came in was a customer. In fact, this is maybe that could apply to everybody, mm-hmm. In the sense of what I have to say at the end. But he has a 2010 Dodge Grand Caravan, and his problem was he couldn't use the remote to get into the rear hatch. And of course, guess what? He tried to put the key in the lock. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. So he was stuck. I mean, he was an older guy. He says, I don't want to crawl over the seats to get back there every time. What can I do? Well, going through the diagnostics of it, I found out that the power lift gate actuator failed. And here we go. We got an older vehicle, 16 years old. So what do? I call Advance Auto Parts. And this was amazing. In stock, they had the lift gate actuator. It was in the Dorman Products brand, which is, equal or better than the original equipment. Yeah. And was able to, here we go, get them back on the road again. Now, here's the sad part about this. Everybody, we get lazy. We have keyless entry remotes.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've got older vehicles or any vehicles that you have lock cylinders still back there, hey, it's not a bad idea to maybe use the key once in a while. But you think about this van, driving, and you're not putting the key into the lock cylinder. What happened is the lock cylinder itself was actually frozen. I mean, I even went to the point of trying to loosen it up a little bit and worked with a little bit. And I did get into it because what I ended up doing is I ended up using the Hotshot Secret, their lubricant. That's also a rust preventer that I sprayed into that lock and worked it in. It's a little stiff, but I told them from now on, you know, try to do that. Try to go to all your lock cylinders and get in, because if that remote ever fails again, or if you have a dead battery, how are you going to get into the vehicle? How are you going to get in? You're not going to get in. So bottom line is, make sure that you do, if you have an older vehicle and keyless entry remote, you know, lubricate them, lock cylinders with Hot Shots Never Rust lubricant, and you're on your way. That's the good news. The good news is simple and easy to take care of.
Yeah, and would you do that, like, even if I'm not having trouble with my locks, but I don't use them, would you do that anyway, just as like a preventative measure?
Oh, absolutely. Think about this a little bit. Our region, what do we have? We have road salts.
Oh, yeah.
And even though you wash your vehicle, over time, that salt will migrate into these lock cylinders. The lock cylinders have little brass pieces in there, and these little brass pieces can seize up and corrode up. He was fortunate enough for me to get in there and actually, you know, break that loose. But that tells me a little bit about Hotshot Secret with the Never Rust lubricant, how well of a job that did on that to get them going. So again, you know, the Dorman products, actuator in stock, and you know, the good news is just calling up Advance Auto Parts and, you know, getting them back on the road again. It was a dealer available item, but who wants to wait 3 or 5 days? I don't.
Exactly. Especially if you're trying to get the work done today, and then you got to put it off for 2 or 3 or 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. That's get it done now. I've got an email here. 2013 Lexus. Let's see if we can get this done here in the next couple of minutes. 2013 Lexus ES350, 118,000 miles. He goes, on a cold start, they see blue tinted smoke in the exhaust. The mechanic tells him it's oil seepage, but the mechanic also told him that if this was his car, he wouldn't worry about it, that this is not going to be a problem, that he doesn't think it's going to be a problem long term. And the blue smoke coming out of the tailpipe is the only noticeable symptom. No oil on the ground. He goes, I want to trust him that it doesn't need fixings, but I'm wondering if I should get a second opinion.
Well, that's why he emailed us for that second opinion.
Correct.
So here's what happens. If he's the type of person that follows the manufacturer's recommendations on oil changes, that Lexus recommends that you change the oil every 10,000 miles or 12 months.
Wow.
That is way too long.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is, I don't know his driving habits. We'll say, for an example, he's stop and go city driving, you know, freezing temperatures or dirt road driving or city traffic. He should do it every 5,000 miles. So here's my recommendation. This is what I would do. I would change the oil every 5,000 miles.
Okay.
After he changes that oil for 5,000 miles, I would also at that point make sure that we use a fuel system cleaner. And the fuel system cleaner that he should use is the Gasoline Extreme Hotshot Secret. And go from there, give it a little bit of time and see what happens.
And that should solve the problem. Problem solved. Back on the road. That's what Dan does. He gets us all back on the road. What battery should you put in your vehicle? You can find out for certain at autobatteries.com. Powered by Clarios, autobatteries.com features a Find Your Battery selector that helps guide your next battery purchase based on your vehicle specifics and your personal driving habits. You'll receive a premium fit suggestion and a recommended fit selection, coupled with the closest available retailers. Autobatteries.com also offers information about how batteries work, battery installation, jump-starting, charging, and much more. It's all right there at autobatteries.com.
It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This past week, a customer had her 2019 GMC Denali towed in first thing Monday morning. No crank, no lights, a completely dead battery. She needed to get to work and to get her kids to school, so the pressure was on. Upon inspection, the original battery had just finally given out. But here's the thing. Today's vehicles aren't a one-size-fits-all. With start-stop technology and added electronics, you've got to find the correct battery, one with the precise power and fit. So, we turned to Advance Auto Parts. In minutes, we found the right battery for her specific year, make, and model, one built to handle her vehicle's electrical demands. It was in stock locally, and Advance delivered the battery in under an hour. We installed the battery, tested the system, and had her back on the road fast. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs, including free battery testing and installation at most Advance locations. You can learn more at AdvanceAutoParts.com. That's AdvanceAutoParts.com. Don't let your vehicle fail emissions. Be proactive and use CRC G2P. CRC Guaranteed to Pass Emissions System Cleaner features an advanced detergent formula that removes harmful deposits from fuel system components, including injectors, intake valves, combustion chambers, and much more. It actually increases acceleration response time. Guaranteed to Pass will reduce emissions like carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, and nitrogen oxide. It'll also clear emissions-related check engine light codes and even improve your fuel economy. Drive to crcg2p.com for more information.
To The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Want to remind you that we are brought to you in part by Dorman Products and their OE Fix electronic power steering rack for the Dodge Ram 1500. 100% new, not remanufactured, featuring improvements like additional surge protection and a UV40 protected control board. Dorman's electronic power steering rack assembly is superior to the OE, ensuring long service life and reliable performance. You can learn more about that right there at DormanProducts.com. I got a little email here, Dan. This gentleman has a 2006 Kia Sportage two-wheel drive.
Okay.
Now, this one, this is mechanic speak, so I know you understand it. When I read it, it was like, this doesn't make sense. Was doing my front rotors, pads, and driver's side caliper replacement. Caliper was stuck and causing the brakes to be applied all the time. After replacing everything and bleeding air out, I started the car, and while it was still on jack stands, I shifted and drive, and again, the driver's side brakes were stuck. As soon as I open, bleeder piston goes in and axle spins. So I thought it's a brake hose, removed it, it's not clogged or anything. The old caliper is not stuck either. Could this be an ABS module? It looks like fluid won't go back as you release the brake pedal, only on the driver's side. And he said, on this car, the master cylinder has two brake lines going to the ABS module, four coming from the ABS module. And he says, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this. The initial problem most likely wasn't a stuck caliper, but it was a bad brake hose. You simply can't take, their brake hoses are very inexpensive. You simply just don't say, well, it's not plugged, whether he took compressed air or whatever to blow into it. What can happen, that brake hose is continuously flexing over time, and then it can degrade internally. So what's happening is the hydraulic fluid, which could be thousands PSI per square inch pressure on that hose, is taking that degraded hose and it's forming a check valve. So it allows it to go one way, but it's not releasing. He says he opens up the bleeder screw and then of course it turns. Bottom line is, anytime you replace calipers, you should replace the brake hoses at the same time. And believe it or not, you should replace both, because when brake hoses, when one side fails, so will the other side. So bottom line is, replace the brake hose.
And I wondered about that too. He said he's just replacing the caliper on the driver's side. Would you replace both calipers as long as you were doing it?
Yeah. Well, here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Well, you should just like brake pads. Yeah. You should replace them in pairs. Always left side, right side. In fact, you can't buy a half set of brake shoes or pads.
Yeah, that's true. I thought about you that. Know, you're right. You can't buy one side.
But on the calipers, can they fail? Yes. But most likely, if he probably would have started off The wheel was froze up. If he would have broke the bleeder through and then he found out it went, he was assuming it was a caliper. What I like doing is when he had the old caliper off, he could have took a C-clamp with an old brake pad and pushed it in and the piston into the caliper back in. And if it went easily, it wasn't the caliper. It was a brake hose the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And that would be, after replacing the caliper and finding out it was just the hose, how annoyed would you be?
Well, I wouldn't be a happy camper.
I can imagine. All right, we got another one here. 2022 GMC Sierra, 6.2 engine, 85,000 miles. And this is, says, my engine hours don't align with my mileage. I work out of my truck, so it idles a lot. My low engine oil message comes on when I have about 20% oil life left, according to the ECM. And the dealership says it's because I idle too much. But how can I burn through oil on a sealed system, he says. I end up just adding a quart until my oil changed. Their solution was for me to change my oil more often, but they wouldn't give me the answer why it would be burning oil.
Well, you know, keep in mind, too, that system has, it's called an active fuel management system.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, in many cases, because of having that, it's not uncommon maybe to even burn a quart every, you know, 1,000 to 3,000 miles. But here's what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how often he changes oil. We'll say, for example, he says, when it gets down to 20%,
right,
you know, my oil light go. Well, how many miles did you have on that oil change already? 6,000 or 7,000? I mean, that's just a guideline. But if you do stop and go driving, off-road driving, a lot of idling, you want to make sure you change that oil maybe every 4,000 or 5,000 miles, because when it's just idling and sitting there, you're going to consume oil. So it's not, you know, let's do a little bit of, how do you want to say it? A little bit of diagnostics on your own.
On my own?
Meaning.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, change the oil a little bit more frequently. Again, we don't know how often he's changing the oil. And if he finds out the consumption is gone, we know the whole time that the oil was breaking down, it was thinning out, the additive package was gone, and that's why he was consuming the oil.
Okay. So let's go back to basics with people. A lot of people just tune in and they're going, well, what, how often? Say, you know, you got the car, you just got the car. Say it's a new car. How often should you be, number one, checking your oil on a car? Number two, how often would you recommend changing your oil on the car, any car?
Well, this is what you have to remember. You can always go by the manufacturer's required maintenance. That's in the owner's manual.
Yep.
But that's in the perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing an extended amount of driving, it's all expressway driving, you can go longer. But when you're into that stop and go city driving, extended idling, I mean, it's not uncommon. I mean, even in our area, you can always see heavy duty trucks at the side of the road, you know, whether they're utility workers or anything like that.
Sure.
The trucks are always idling.
Yep.
And especially during the winter months, they want to be warm when they have to go back in there to warm up.
Absolutely.
But it's all based. You can go to the owner's manual. It'll show you extreme driving, which is going to be city. It's going to show you the light duty driving, and they're going to have different recommendations. Manufacturers do it differently. So I personally, because of the type of driving I do, I do it every 5,000 miles because I do a mix and I put on 12,000 miles a year. But if you're the type of person that you're only going to be putting on 5,000 miles a year, you're going to want to do it every 6 months and change it.
Okay.
Because here's what happens, the starting, the stopping, the condensation that forms, you got to be able to burn that condensation that forms into the out of the crankcase. There's so many different variables that are out there that you know, you always got to look at your driving habits and get a baseline out of your owner's manual.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. I just know that there's a lot of different things. Like the last car I had before the one I have now, they're saying, oh, you just change your oil every 7,500 miles. And I was like, well, that seems like too far. That seems like too many miles. So I was changing it every 3 to 4 just to make sure I'm still going to be good on this car. I feel like the owner's manual gives you, like you said, it's the perfect driving situation. And I know I'm not in that.
Right. And, you know, it depends. If you're down in the southern states, we'll say like in Florida, compared to up here in, in the Midwest or northern states, you know, you have a lot more extremes to work with. And a lot of it is when it's cold and that condensation and that moisture that gets into the crankcase. We're down in Florida. You're not going to have that. You know, you can probably extend it out. You have warmer weather. Yeah. So it depends on your ambient temperatures, your climate. I mean, just so many different things.
Yeah. Okay. I know that there's a lot of, you know, I hear a lot of people with a lot of different opinions about oil changes. And it's like, well, I think there's a right way and a wrong way to do probably anything. But I would imagine, like you say, you cannot change your oil too often, but you can change it not often enough.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is right.
And I think because, you know, having worked with you for a long time, I think of the oil as it's the blood in my engine. I want to keep that as fresh and good as I can.
You have to.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe this guy, even though you're idling, like just change the oil a little more often. Can't hurt it.
Never hurts.
Well, remember, if you want to email us, it's thecarshowdetroit@gmail.com. All the information to get in touch with us is right there at thecarshow.com. It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This past week, a customer had her 2019 GMC Denali towed in first thing Monday morning. No crank, no lights, a completely dead battery. She needed to get to work and to get her kids to school, so the pressure was on. Upon inspection, the original battery had just finally given out. But here's the thing. Today's vehicles aren't a one-size-fit-all. With start-stop technology and added electronics, you've got to find the correct battery, one with the precise power and fit. So we turned to Advance Auto Parts. In minutes, we found the right battery for her specific year, make, and model, one built to handle her vehicle's electrical demands. It was in stock locally, and Advance delivered the battery in under an hour. We installed the battery, tested the system, and had her back on the road fast. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs, including free battery testing and installation at most Advance locations. You can learn more at AdvanceAutoParts.com. That's AdvanceAutoParts.com.
Car Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It does. Remember, we're brought to you in part by Motorad, manufacturer of direct OEM replacement parts for today's demanding evaporative emissions system for cleaner emissions, optimal efficiency and performance, and a greener future. You can trust Motorad's evaporative emissions program. You can learn more about that right over there at motorad.com, motorad.com. Anything else going on with you this week, Dan? Anything good?
Well, you know, I was going to mention something else, but since you mentioned Motorad, you know, and this all falls back to about, you know, we're talking about oil changes and how often you should do it. Well, I had a 2015 Malibu that was into the shop that had a four-cylinder 2.4 engine. And what happened is they were getting an intermittent check engine light that was being illuminated. So upon checking it, came through with some service codes that pertain to the variable valve timing solenoids. On this engine, there's two. There's one on for the intake side of the engine and one for the exhaust side of the engine. Normally, what I do naturally is after I see anything like this, the first thing is I'll clear the codes out of the system because they don't have to fail mechanically or electrically. It could be both or one or the other, but most common that I've seen, people are not changing oil frequently enough. And what I found is when I removed one of the solenoids and pulled it up, I noticed that there's a screen that will filter the oil before it gets through the solenoid. And it was blackened. It had a bunch of dry carbon around it, which is an indication that they're not changing oil frequently enough. So instead of cleaning them, I didn't want to clean them. You can sometimes clean them, but you don't get it all out. I went to the point and called up Advance Auto Parts. And what I ended up doing is, again, which I love this, they were in stock. I got both the intake an exhaust side variable valve timing solenoids that are manufactured by Motorrad, mm-hmm. installed them. And it's been, let's see, if I did that Monday, so it's been 4 or 5 days and I didn't get a phone call back. So guess what?
No news.
It's fixed.
Yeah, no news.
It's repaired. It's repaired. But again, you know, change your oil. And you know, with all these newer engines out today, they're getting small. In fact, with your new vehicle, mm-hmm. a very small turbo engine that's it's gasoline direct injected. Mm-hmm. I recommend that you use at this point, let's get into the fact that you should start using a fuel system cleaner.
Yep.
Why? Yes, because of the fuels, but most importantly, it's the carbon that can build up inside the combustion chamber, because with a gasoline direct injected engine, it's actually spraying fuel directly into the combustion chamber compared to a port fuel, which sprays it into, we'll say, like a intake manifold before it even gets there. So what you can do, you can actually, CRC makes a wonderful, in fact, it depends on how many miles you have on it. You can either buy a GDI, a gasoline direct injected service kit, mm-hmm. which is we'll call it a rejuvenation pack. And what it's going to include a mass airflow sensor cleaner, a throttle body cleaner. It's going to have an injector cleaner. It's going to be everything in one pack. In fact, it even, you know, a lot of vehicles today don't have a fuel cap. Yep. It even will provide you with the proper funnel you need to pour the gasoline additive in that after you do this procedure. But again, if you want to use the cleaner only, you can actually buy CRC's cleaner. Again, you'll be able to buy that at your favorite automotive parts store, Advance. You know, there's one everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And what you can do is do that every 6,000 miles. It's a concentrated thing. And I always recommend to do it before that oil change. If you change your oil every, 5 or 6,000 miles, mm-hmm. then what that'll do is that cleaner, if it cleans anything that bypasses the piston rings and that ends up into the crankcase, you're not going to be doing this on a fresh oil change. You're going to do it before you change the oil.
Okay. So what you're saying is, I'm going to go change my oil, and I'm not going to anytime soon. I'm just, but I'm going to go change my oil. Say I'm going to plan it. Today is Thursday. I'm going to plan to change my oil Saturday while I'm out running around.
Not enough time.
How much time should I go ahead then?
Well, when you pour it in, most of the chemicals or treatments are going to treat up to 20 gallons or highly concentrated, mm-hmm. Go through a tank of gas.
Oh, okay.
Then have the oil changed.
Okay. So I go through personally about a half a tank a week. So I would wait maybe a week or so. And I would probably, let me check this too. Say I'm like a little OCD about my gas tank. Once it gets down to below a half a tank, I fill it up. Would you, when you put this in, fill it up and then let it go lower than that? Before you
because it's concentrated enough to treat up to 20 gallons.
Okay. So you'd probably go like a week or maybe 2 weeks before you went to the oil change. Do this, then wait a week or two.
Right.
Okay.
Let the solvents and the chemicals do their job.
Okay. I'm only asking because it's like I've had in my head with this new car I got, it's like, we're not close to an oil change. I'm probably a couple of thousand miles away, but it's like I need to. That was on my list. I need to probably put in a gasoline treatment just to keep this thing running smoothly for me,
Well, and we always talk about gasoline engines. We have to remember, too, that even on a diesel engine, you can use a cleaner. But on another issue, what I always see, and these guys run low so often, in fact, a lot of your diesels out there use it's called a selective catalytic reduction system to reduce. What it does, it brings down nitrogen oxide emissions.
Okay.
And what can happen if that gets low or you run out, it'll put the system into a lost power mode. And a lot of guys don't realize this. So if you keep up on your diesel exhaust fluid, your DEF, in fact, peak, mm-hmm. Everybody heard of peak blue DEF. I mean, yep. You go to anywhere I go. In fact, I went to a big box store, a lumber yard yesterday, and they even sell it over there, yep. You know, right at over there. The Blue Def is there manufactured by Peak. But the bottom line is it helps exhaust emissions. And so many times we forget about it. I know there's times that there may be little warnings, but just make sure that you keep up on that separate tank. Now, remember, the Peak Blue Def is, you do not add this to your diesel fuel. This is added. You have a special tank for this, yeah. For the selective catalytic reduction system. And what that does is that has nothing to do with the diesel fuel in the sense of, you know, as an additive for that. It's strictly independent. It's exhaust diesel fuel.
Yeah. Fluid. Okay. Got another one here. This is one I've been looking forward to. I like this. He says, so it doesn't mention a car. Doesn't mention mileage, and I don't think any of that is pertinent to this problem. So my friend is going through a bad breakup. Said recently, she went to clean her windshield with the wipers. The windshield turned black and dirty. I went over and looked at it for her, and I was going to fill the fill for the washer fluid was black, like someone had put used oil in it to mess with her. Say to replace the tank requires taking major parts off the car, so I don't want to do that. He goes, I plan on using a pump to get the fluid out. What else should I do to clean this up?
Well, here's the thing. When they found out they had some black whatever in the mm-hmm. windshield washer container, you know, first thing we got to look at, if it was oil, it would be greasy on the windshield. You know, you would notice that.
Yeah.
It didn't mention anything about
no,
that.
No, he so, didn't.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it was she had the vehicle in for service and somebody messed up. Doesn't necessarily have to be, again, used engine oil, unless she has somebody that doesn't like her. We don't know that.
Well, so she's going through a bad breakup. So,
well, we don't know that. But what I would do, I would just simply take a garden hose, mm-hmm. put it in the windshield washer jug, and continue to flush it through. In fact, then when the water is running through, operate the windshield washer system, try to flush everything out of the lines. And then at that point, you know, when everything's clear and the windshield's clear, then he can pump out the water with a pump. And of course, depending on the region you live in, and then of course use some windshield washer solvent that is, you know, set to, you know, minus 32 degrees if you live in that area, and go from there. But he may have a little bit more of a problem. If there is an oily base substance to it, you may want to go a step further. The first thing is try to, you know, do the best you can with that garden hose to get it out. And then after that, what works really, really well, mm-hmm. but again, don't operate your wipers, is you can use a little bit of dishwashing soap and mix it in there and let it set and then flush it out again. It'll be a little bubbly, but this is not uncommon. I have ran across this in the past.
I hadn't thought about dishwashing soap. That's a good idea because it does cut the grease pretty quickly.
Yes.
And they use it on TV to clean the little baby ducks.
That's right. They do.
See, I pay attention. Don't let your vehicle fail emissions. Be proactive and use CRC G2P. CRC Guaranteed to Pass Emissions System Cleaner features an advanced detergent formula that removes harmful deposits from fuel system components, including injectors, intake valves, combustion chambers, and much more. It actually increases acceleration response time. Guaranteed to Pass will reduce emissions like carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, and nitrogen oxide. It'll also clear emissions-related check engine light codes and even improve your fuel economy. Drive to crcg2p.com for more information. What battery should you put in your vehicle? You can find out for certain at autobatteries.com. Powered by Clarios, autobatteries.com features a Find Your Battery selector that helps guide your next battery purchase based on your vehicle specifics and your personal driving habits. You'll receive a premium fit suggestion and a recommended fit selection, coupled with the closest available retailers. Autobatteries.com also offers information about how batteries work, battery installation, jump-starting, charging, and much more. It's all right there at autobatteries.com.
And now back to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, there are a lot of ways to get a hold of us, all of them right there at thecarshow.com. Our voicemail, our phone number, our email, a pager number. There's a good place to send semaphore flag signals if you want to reach Dan that way. There's a lot of ways to reach Dan. He's very talented and very good at any Morse code. He'll do. I'm making your life a lot more difficult, aren't I, Dan?
Well, of course you are.
That is part of my job. I want to remind everybody really quickly that we're brought to you by K-Seal, the global leader in coolant leak repair. Leaks in the radiator, head gasket, heater core, or water pump don't have to mean expensive repairs. K-Seal is a trusted and proven one-step coolant leak repair. No draining or flushing required. You just shake, pour, and go. You can learn more about that right there at kseal.com. And we always say, Dan, that you don't just seal it.
Well, we K-Seal it, Brian,
correct.
Always.
I got an email here. This is kind of a different one. And you went a different way than I thought you would go. 98 Nissan Altima, and he said it just hit 89,000 miles. Both the trip and normal odometer no longer move, but the speedometer is still functioning. He says, everything I've seen online says it's a plastic gear inside the odometer, not the sensor on the transmission, since it's still telling my speed. He said, if this is the problem, have you ever dealt with a late 90s Nissan with this issue? And where could I find the correct size replacement gear?
Well, here's the problem. It's so old of a vehicle, parts may not be available anymore.
Yeah.
What you may do, and there's nothing wrong with buying, used parts or salvage parts from a junkyard or salvage yard, whatever you want to call them.
Oh, yeah.
Parts of availability, and what I've seen in the past, you have something that old. You have two gears in there. You have a drive gear and a driven gear. And we don't know for sure if the drive gear is broken or it is the driven gear. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can check availability. And like he's saying, apparently, he's having a problem finding that gear, which tells me it's obsolete.
Yeah.
So his other alternative to this would be is to, there's a national salvage company that they can go to their site. Put in used speedometer cluster for 98 Nissan Altima and see who has one in his region. The only sad thing about that, it's not, the mileage is not going to match on it. That's going to be the bad thing. But again, it's been a while, but I remember that, I would have to do a little bit of research unless Dorman Products offers that part. That could be a possibility too, but other than that, I'm sorry.
I said that would be worth looking into. I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. But for now, what I found out, doing this type of repair in the past, it's not always the gear that we think it is, and they may end up buying maybe a new cluster from the manufacturer if that's still available.
That's pretty old. Yeah,
that's going to be the issue about that. And, being that it's a 98 car, an older car like that, I think at that point, he may be able to find, especially if you go to one of the large automotive recyclers across the United States, they may be able to find something that has mileage that's real close to what they have. What I would do is, of course, a lot of people aren't capable of doing this, you would remove it from the vehicle. You would put it on a workbench. You would disassemble it to make sure to see what speedometer gear is broken.
We
don't know, because there's a drive gear and a driven gear. And I've had both broken. When one of the gears are broken, it's not replaceable. You have to buy the whole unit. Or if you, again, that old of a vehicle, I don't know, Brian, because of the problems, there may be speedometer clusters available. And if you buy a new one, manufacturer may be able to set the miles to the miles that he already has on the vehicle.
This isn't a big problem, is it? Except for maybe for resale, because you don't know how many miles are going to be actually on the vehicle.
Right? Well, right now, if he tries to sell that vehicle with the odometer and tripometer not working, the car would have to be sold miles unknown.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even though it could have said 60,000 on the odometer, you know, how long was this driven?
Exactly, for 60. Yeah. You could have driven 10,000 miles after it hit 60.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, if I'm going to keep this car, say it's my car, your car, and you go, I'm going to keep this car anyway, I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off of it, no matter what it is, would you still replace it? And knowing I'm never going to sell this car, I'm just going to drive it till it collapses. Would you still replace it or not worry about it?
You still need, you know, a way to record how many miles you're putting on the vehicle.
Oh, that's true. For oil changes, you
know,
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, that's very important.
I'm always looking for the lazy way out, Dan. You know this.
Well, I know how you are.
Do I have to fix it? Yes, you have to fix it. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, once you get the cluster out, you know, it is pretty simple to do. But on the other issue, it's the availability of parts.
I'm sorry.
I'm not as prepped up, you know, as you would be, Brian. Again, you know, you're reading me that email before we even discuss it. So
no, we discussed that.
We did.
You were talking about changing the cluster earlier.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I thought that was a different vehicle.
I never blindside you, Dan. I wouldn't do that to you. Because you slap me.
Yep.
Here's one. 2016 Subaru Crosstrek, 120,000 miles. Now he says, I bought it about a year and a half ago and have had no issues whatsoever with the car mechanically until last fall. There's always an until with those statements. He says, I found out my transmission needed to be replaced. And I've gotten quotes anywhere from $4,000 to $9,000 for a used or a new replacement, and none of that includes labor. It's like, I'm not really in a financial situation to pay for that, and I need my own form of transportation sooner rather than later. He says, what's my best course of action here? Should I sell this for enough to put down and get myself a loan for a new car? Or should I just take a loan to get this car fixed? The car was very reliable until now, and I hate to lose it, but I need a working car sooner rather than later. He goes, also, I'm worried that this could be the sign of more issues up the road.
Well, what we look at that Subaru, I don't want to say there's been a problem with them, but I know a lot of the Subarus had a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty on the transmissions. Mm-hmm. And that is what we call a constant velocity transmission, a CVT. Mm-hmm. And I think that the pricing that, you know, it doesn't say what part of the country.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. I would say because of pricing that, you know, the $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 is for a new originally equipment transmission.
Yeah.
You know, another step, yes, you can get used transmissions. I remember a few years back, I purchased a used one for a high mileage Subaru. And it was like $1,200. So, you know, it depends on region and things like that. And, you know, we're dealing with a 10-year-old car, but it's going to be about availability. I would say he needs to do a little bit more price shopping.
Okay.
And, or he can do this on his own, or she can do this on his own, mm-hmm. is do a search and find out, you know, what's out there. You know, they may find a used transmission from a salvage yard, a recycling yard across the U.S., that could be, you know, this is all based on mileage too. A low mileage transmission is going to be a lot more money than a high mileage one. Oh, and yeah. We'll say they got 120 on their vehicle now. They may find something with half the miles, with 60,000 miles. And if you can do that and spend $1,000 for a used one with 60,000 miles, that's a way to do it. But you're going to have to do your research and find this out. A lot of guys will not put in a used transmission. They're going to want to go with a new one.
Oh, okay. So the technician might say, I don't want to do that for you.
Right. Meaning a shop.
Okay.
So.
Well, another one in the books. We'll reconvene next week, Dan. How about that?
Yeah, we'll do it. Why not?
Okay. Until then, have a safe driving week ahead, everyone. It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This past week, a customer had her 2019 GMC Denali towed in first thing Monday morning. No crank, no lights, a completely dead battery. She needed to get to work and to get her kids to school, so the pressure was on. Upon inspection, the original battery had just finally given out. But here's the thing. Today's vehicles aren't a one-size-fits-all. With start-stop technology and added electronics, you've got to find the correct battery, one with the precise power and fit. So we turned to Advance Auto Parts. In minutes, we found the right battery for her specific year, make, and model, one built to handle her vehicle's electrical demands. It was in stock locally, and Advance delivered the battery in under an hour. We installed the battery, tested the system, and had her back on the road fast. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs, including free battery testing and installation at most Advance locations. You can learn more at AdvanceAutoParts.com. That's AdvanceAutoParts.com.